Well, you can go ahead and turn over to the book of John, chapter 15. We're going to start there in just a minute, thinking about the Lord's Supper. But I'm going to just say one more word about Ben and Anna. You know, Abby and JT, obviously, they felt the Lord's call to Centralia, and they've moved there already and started visiting some churches. This is the way things ought to be. I know sometimes we don't think of it that way, but let me explain just a second. We as a church, Bogey Hills and any other church, we're called to send people out. Amen? Amen? We're not in existence for ourselves. This is not a social club that we pay dues to and get to have all the privileges of a club. But we are a church that has continually, since I've been here, and even before I was here, had a mindset of missions, sending people out, going on mission for the Lord. And as I think about Ben and Anna, as I think about Abby and JT, as I think about her other daughter who is overseas on the mission field, I want to say that you guys, Bogey Hills, have been a big part of that. I mean, yeah, they're our kids, and we prayed and we gave them to the Lord and we pushed them to be obedient to the Lord. But I want you to know something, church. You're a big part of that as well. And the way that you've loved our kids, the way that you've taught them, the way that you've modeled Jesus for them, the way that you've kept them in the nursery, the way you've been, the way that you have modeled Jesus before them, taught them in VBS. This is a triumph unto the Lord. This is a testimony of God working through us and our church. And as much as we hate to lose people, we want people to be sent out. We have to continually give of ourselves. It's like tithing, right? When we tithe, we are trusting the Lord. As we give that 10% or whatever, we're trusting the Lord that He's going to... There's Abby and JT right there. We're just talking about it. Didn't know y'all were going to be here. But when we... and JT's got a fresh new haircut. But when we tithe, we give our money, and sometimes you think, man, this is a lot of money, and it's hurting me to give this, and I don't know, but we give it in trust that the Lord's going to give it back. And so the same is true in the principle of sending people out. We send out our best, and I'm not just saying they're our best because they're my kids, but any person that leaves and feels called to another area, they've been here for a time, and they felt called, and we send them out with a blessing, knowing that God's going to give us more people to send out. And we're going to send them out, and God's going to give us more, and we're going to send them out. And God's going to give us more, and we're going to send them out. You can't outgive God. I know that's cliche, and I know that we say it all the time, but it's so true. And so we send people out, and just it's a triumph to our church. And the attitude that we have for the nations. And so I want all of us to celebrate that today. This is about all of us and the impact that the kingdom of God has made on our lives and the impact that He's made for us and the way that we view this world. It is all of us. And this is a triumph for all of us. And we ought to celebrate. And we ought to celebrate anybody else who feels called to go. And we send them out with our blessing. So I just want to encourage you with that today. I don't know what the Lord prompted me to say that, but He just did. And I hope it came out right. Amen. All right, let's have the Lord's Supper. What a blessing. What a blessing to be able to do this today. What's the origin of the Lord's Supper? You guys need some... We're taking the Lord's Supper. You guys need elements? All right, Ken's got them for you. He'll bring them over to you. The Lord's Supper is one of two ordinances that we observe as a church. And the other one is what? Baptism, right. You guys know your SBC stuff. So the observance of the Lord's Supper is a very important time of worship because of the depth of its meaning. The Lord's Supper was first observed by Jesus and His disciples the night before that He was arrested. And Jesus and his disciples were observing the Passover together. Remember that? The Passover meal for the Jewish people was the most sacred feast of the Jewish religious year. It commemorated something that was very important. It commemorated the promise of God to cause the death angel to pass over the homes of the Israelites if they followed his instructions. So God told Moses on that night that the Israelites were to choose the firstborn lamb without spot or blemish, right? They were to kill the lamb, roast it, and eat it. And additionally, they were to dip hyssop into its blood and wipe it on the doorposts of the house in which they were staying. And by doing this, they were protected by God's final plague on Egypt. And the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke describe Jesus having this one last over Passover meal with his disciples. And it was there that he gave these two elements, the bread and the cup. And he said that the bread was his body, and the cup was the new covenant in his blood. And even though the Gospel of John doesn't report the eating and drinking, but it gives us a glimpse of that time that Jesus had with his disciples, that one last time when he was hanging with his guys there in the upper room, and all the things that went on, the teaching. And so, as far as we can tell from the earliest records, the church continued to observe and reenact that supper in remembrance of his death. And just in case you guys are wondering, I don't have any PowerPoint today, so we're just looking at the Bible and doing the Lord's Supper together. So the historical origin of the Lord's Supper is that final supper that Jesus ate with his disciples the night before he was crucified. And the actions and the meaning of it are all rooted in what Jesus said on that night. And Jesus himself said he's the origin of the Lord's Supper. He commanded that it be something that we continue to do. He said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Jesus himself is the origin of the Lord's Supper. He's the focus. He's the content of it. And as I stated earlier, the Gospel in John doesn't report the eating and drinking part, but rather focuses on the teachings and some of the actions that fill that evening. So let's take a look at one of the things that Jesus mentioned here. It's found in John chapter 15. We'll start in verse 9. We'll read over to verse 14. Let's read that together. This is a command that Jesus gave his disciples. And look at what he says here in verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. And so Jesus is here with his disciples. His death is only a matter of hours away. And in this bold statement, Jesus gives the supreme evidences of his love. And what was that? Is that he would lay down his life, right? And Paul reminds us of this in Romans 5, 6, and 8. He said, while we were still helpless at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus willingly laid down his life for the sake of others. His death was not for himself, it was for others. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he was doing it for the sake of others. It was for those people, you and me, that Jesus said are my friends. And so we want to be like Jesus, right? We want to do the same thing. And so what does that mean for us? Well, think about it. Jesus gave everything, right? He gave his life so that you and I can have forgiveness in life. He laid down his life. He asked his disciples to do the same. And most of them ultimately did die for the cause of Christ. And he asks us to do this very same thing. That doesn't mean die on the cross like Jesus did. But it means we must love the Lord by following him wherever he leads, by obeying him in whatever he asks, and by trusting him whatever the cost might be. And so one more thing I want to mention as we prepare to take the bread and drink the cup. As we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper together, Paul gave us a very important claim that we need to follow. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse 23. I'll give you just a second to find that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and they were having some issues when it came to the Lord's Supper. They were abusing it and using it for something that it was not intended for. And this is what he says in verse 23. He said, "For I received from you the Lord, from the Lord that night, I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And so that's what I want to mention. As we observe the Lord's Supper together, when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, Paul says that we proclaim the death of our Lord. And so when we think about a proclamation, when we proclaim something, to proclaim it means that we make a public announcement, right? We declare to other people what we deem to be important. And even though we don't think of communion or the Lord's Supper as this loud, noisy event where we're outside yelling to the world, still we are proclaiming truth in this place this morning. We're proclaiming something that is truth. We're proclaiming it quietly. We're proclaiming it confidently. We're proclaiming it joyfully to God and to each other. And then ultimately, as we go out and live our lives, we're proclaiming it to the world. Amen? So remember that. And so before we take the elements together, I want us to make sure that we are in the right frame of mind and understand why we're doing it, what we're doing today. I want us to examine ourselves as Paul directs us in verses 27 and 28. Let's read it real quick. What does he say in verse 27? "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. So, a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat the bread and drink from the cup." Now, notice here, Paul did not say that we had to be worthy to partake of the supper, but only that we should partake of it in what? A worthy manner. And so when Paul said that no one should take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, he was speaking to individuals here in the church at Corinth who were rushing into it without understanding or without thinking about its meaning. And therefore, they weren't honoring the body of Christ. And as we think about it, as I've often said, in reality, no one is worthy to take the Lord's Supper because we're all sinners. And we all need Jesus. And we're all saved by grace. But because we are saved, we can celebrate this observance as it's been given to us by our Savior. And so when we come to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, it means to come without a solemn understanding of what is being remembered and without a repentant and humble spirit before the Lord. So I'm going to have Andrew come. He's going to play quietly for a few minutes. And in the quietness of this moment, I want you to examine your heart before the Lord. Make sure you understand the seriousness of this moment and understanding why we're doing this. Maybe there's a time of confession that you need to make. Maybe there's something you need to get out and be obedient to the Lord. Maybe there's a commitment that you need to make. But as in this quiet moment, just where you're sitting, as Andrew plays quietly, examine your heart before the Lord. All right? And then I'll close this in prayer in just a few minutes. Father, as we examine our hearts before you today, we understand that the only way that we're worthy is because you've made us worthy through your Son, Jesus Christ. You took a wretched, sinful person like us, and you changed our hearts, and you made us into a brand new person. And Father, we don't understand how you do it, but you did it. And the evidence is the way that you've changed our hearts and the way that you changed our lives. And we're different now than we were before. And Father, we acknowledge that today. So Father, as we reflect upon what you've done for us and remember, Father, I pray that we would truly recognize the sacrifice that you made for us. We commit this time of worship to you, and it is worship. Father, be glorified in all that we say and do. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. Amen. The first element that we observe or take in is the element of the bread. And Hebrews 9:26 says that Jesus Christ has put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so he willingly consented to suffer an excruciatingly painful death for us. That's where the word crucifixion comes from. It's from the word excruciating, because it was terrible, it was horrible and painful. He was tortured for many hours before he died, and he bore in his body, he understood the physical suffering that was caused by your sin and my sin. And thinking back to the Old Testament, under the first covenant, the sacrifice of animals for sin by the Levitical priesthood really could not remove the guilt of the ancient Israelites. Those sacrifices were a reminder to them of their sinfulness, and they were only types of the one future sacrifice that would remove all the transgressions of repentant sinners, Jesus, amen? But you know, those animal sacrifices did do something. They helped the Israelites understand how serious sin is in the sight of God. And how much more should the sacrifice of the Son of God for the sins of the whole world help us to understand that sin has brought nothing but tragedy and suffering on mankind. Jesus had to endure intense suffering for our sake. And so when we eat the bread that symbolizes the broken body of Jesus Christ, We should remember. We should deeply appreciate why he had to offer his body to be beaten and abused as a sacrifice for us. He was smitten. He was afflicted. He was wounded. And he was bruised for our transgressions. Andrew's going to sing a song. And we reflect upon not only what the song means, but what this bread represents as we partake it. And then we'll eat after that.
Now is the time for giving. Now is the time to share. The bread and the wine are ready now. The table is prepared. Now is the time for singing. Now is the time for praise. Now is the time for thanking Him for giving us all of our days. Let us now share His body. Let us now share His blood. Remember the love that God has shown to us, like Noah and the flood. Through history He works with us, a journey that is long. So now is the time to think of how to make a right from wrong.
Go ahead and take out your bread. And let's pray and thank God. Father, thank you for this bread. We thank you for what it represents. It represents your body, which was broken and beaten upon the cross of Calvary. Father, we thank you for the life that it gives. And Lord, as we eat it this morning, I pray that we would truly remember what it represents. Bless it now as we partake. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Of the second element, the cup. You remember in Exodus 24 when Moses ratified the covenant that God had made with Israel. What did he do? He took the blood of the sacrifice and he sprinkled it on half of the altar and then the other half on the people. And it was with the blood of the sacrifice that the covenant was sealed, right? Between God and his people. That covenant is not to be broken. The old covenant was one that was based upon the blood of sheep and ox, and whereby the high priest would have to go into the temple each year and make atonement for the sins of the people. But when Jesus died, he fulfilled the law. And what did he do? He instituted a new covenant, right? Was established by his shed blood on the cross. His shed blood on the cross was poured out for the forgiveness of our sin. His blood made the sacrifice acceptable to God. And we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus. The Lamb of God, Jesus. You know what that means? It means that we've been declared not guilty. Amen? Not guilty for our sins. Because he purchased our freedom with his own blood. And so when we take the cup, we're remembering his shed blood. We're reflecting on the sacrifice that he made for us. We're being reminded of the covenant that's between us and God. It represents the very lifeblood that flowed from Jesus' dying body so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. Let's listen to this song and reflect on the blood of Jesus Christ.
Judgment comes not from the east nor the west, from north and the south, only God knows the best. He condemns those who sin and those who are wrong, but he acquits those who praise him in song. When you eat of the bread and you drink from the cup, remember the Lord and the life he gave up. He hung there to die that you and I might live eternally. The Lord is the King, the majesty, strength. The earth is in place to eternal length. More powerful than the roar of the sea, he rescues us all from our sins and sets us free.
If you will, go ahead and take the seal off the cup now. And let's pray and thank God for the cup. Father, we thank you for the cup. We thank you for the contents in the cup and for what it represents. It represents your Son's blood that was freely shed for us so that we might be forgiven. Father, this juice in the cup represents the blood of the most precious person that ever walked the face of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, today as we receive it, may we truly be reminded of what it cost. Father, bless it now as we drink. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, and he said this, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's offer a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. Father, this morning as we observe this supper together, Father, we are reminded of your body, reminded of your blood, and the forgiveness of our sins and what it means. It means that we'll be with you in eternity forever. And Father, we rejoice in that, and we look forward to that day when we'll be with our Savior forever. But Father, in the meantime, we know that we have work to do. And Father, there are many people still that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would burden us, that we would be people that would be ready always to share the love of Jesus with others. So Lord, we rejoice in our salvation. We thank God for Jesus who died for us. But Lord, we ask you to continue to empower us to be on mission for you wherever you call us, wherever you want us to go. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this special time of worship today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.